Hey, folks, this is Chris Brown. Today, you can order Financial Peace University and receive the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey for only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. Visit stewardship.com for all the details.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and we are so excited that you are tuning in to the broadcast today. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk all about God's blessings, managing them God's way, and not for our glory, but for His. This show is all about stewarding everything, not just money. And recently, in my quiet time, I ran across Ecclesiastes 8:15. Says, so I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in the world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work that God gives them underneath the sun. And when I read that, I thought about tomorrow. What happens tomorrow? We've got April Fool's Day tomorrow. And of course, my mind started spinning. This is how my weird mind works. Got me thinking about tomorrow. So if Holly and I are, we're going to be good stewards and we're to eat and drink and enjoy life, then, well, we need to have a little bit of fun with our kids tomorrow. So it's just good stewardship, you know? So what I'm going to do tomorrow, a couple things I want to share it with you guys, and maybe you maybe it gives you a couple ideas for your kids and maybe for your other coworkers and classmates and all those kind of things. We are going to slip a little bit of toothpaste into some Oreos and put those on the counter for them. That'll be kind of fun to watch as they struggle with in this season of their life with brushing their teeth. We're going to make sure that we expedite that process. We're going to dip some onions, some whole onions, in chocolate and sprinkles and leave those as well. They're big into chocolate, and they're always asking for sprinkles on anything. And so, well, I'm assuming they mean onions as well. Of course, we'll have our cameras out for this, so we'll make sure that we share this on social media. We're going to freeze the kids' cereal the night before. We're going to have this pour some cereal and freeze it and then leave it out there in the morning for their breakfast so they can have fun with that as well. And, you know, that toothpaste that we're going to use to put in the Oreos, we're going to fill up that toothpaste with mustard. And so when they go to spray, their toothpaste, or not spray their toothpaste, but when they put their toothpaste on their toothbrush, they're going to not know what happened. So I'll let you know, it might backfire, all that good stuff, but we're going to have a little bit of fun tomorrow, April Fool's Day, all through the eyes and all with the heartbeat of stewardship. That's what we're doing. So be sure to check out all of our fantastic events coming up in a city near you. They're all over the country, and I pray that you can get to one of our events. They are amazing, and the tickets are going fast, so don't wait. Head to stewardship.com. Well, I'm excited about today because we're talking about baby step number 6. If you're not familiar with Financial Peace University, baby step number 6 is paying off your primary mortgage. And we receive a lot of calls about mortgages here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So if a question hits you while you're listening to this broadcast, feel free to give us a call at 866-357-3283. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And don't be afraid to leave a voicemail. If you happen to get the voicemail, we will hear your voicemail, I promise. And if calling in is not your thing, and you're more of an email type person, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, like I said, today we're talking all about baby step number 6. Baby step number 6 is paying off the house. So just a little bit of a quick review when it comes to the baby steps. Baby step 1, of course, is to get a starter emergency fund. Okay, you want to have $1,000 saved up in case the tire goes flat on the car or there's some kind of small issue around the home. You want to make sure that you don't go into debt to take care of that problem. So that's why we have that $1,000 emergency fund. Those of you that are making less than $20,000 a year, $500 is completely fine. Baby step two is to get out of debt and stay out of debt using the debt snowball. That's where you list all of your debts, smallest to biggest, and you attack the smallest one first. And this is regardless of interest rate. But you attack the smallest one first while making minimum payments to the rest. When that smallest one is gone, you take the next one, the next smallest one, and attack that one. And then that gets you ready. Once you're out of debt, you get you ready for baby step three. And baby step three is you want to fully fund that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses. And then once you've done that, you go to baby step four, which is to invest 15% of your household income towards long-term diversified investments or retirement. Then that takes you to baby step five, which is to make sure that you're investing for college for your kids. If that's your choice, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. Skip it. And then baby step six is to pay off the house, your non-consumer debt, pay off the house. And baby step seven is to live and give like nobody else because now you have no payments. How fun is that? So we're going to hyper focus today on paying that house off, not just paying it off, but paying it off early. So that's what we want to do. Now, if you, you know, don't pay off your house early, you are going to pay a ton of interest. And paying it off early doesn't happen by accident. This only happens if you've been diligently working that budget every single month for several years. So that's what we definitely want you to do. And you think about your home. You think about how many of you have traveled a lot. You traveled a lot. Maybe you went to one or two cities. And then you come home. And you just, it's just something about home. You come in and it's just nice to have a place to lay our heads down. And so we want to make sure, I mean, that peace and that comfort and that rest and relaxation, well, it's only better when the house is paid off. So let's talk a little bit on how to do that well. First and foremost, I do want to tell you, if you don't own a house right now, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with renting for a little while. This demonstrates patience and wisdom. So a couple areas where you'd rent instead of buy. For me, I'm just completely repelled by debt. I hate it that much that I personally am renting so that I don't borrow ever. But other areas at times are when you're newly married, you probably want to wait a year. You know, you're not even figuring each other out. It's kind of a high tense, high stress area. You're trying to figure out what life looks like. You probably don't want to buy a home for that first year. Man, just pour into each other. Pay attention to each other. Don't be distracted by a house and renovations and decor and landscaping. Focus on each other for that first year. Other instances I'm thinking about would be like when you're moving to a new city. You want to get the lay of the land first. You want to find out where the best school districts are, where the where you want to hang out, what shopping do you want to partake in, on a budget, of course. if you're a military family, you know, and you're traveling around a lot, it's probably not wise to buy a home and pay all those fees on the front and back end to keep buying a house every year and a half or whatever, and getting transferred all the time. Maybe if you're recently divorced. Or maybe even if you lost a family member recently, you know, it's a very emotional time. It's probably not the right time to buy, and it's completely fine to rent for a season. So anyway, I wanted to make sure I hit on renting first. Now, let's talk about when to buy. In those baby steps, when are we supposed to buy a house? You know, buying a house when you're not ready, it can be a disaster. You're only ready to buy if you're out of debt and have a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. At that point, you can save for a big down payment. We call that baby step 3B. Maybe you've heard some folks talk about baby step 3B before, and that's what it's talking about, where you're going to save up for that down payment. And at the same time, you're going to be doing four and five at the same time. You want to make sure that you're doing that all together. But this baby step 3B is where you start the process. So let's talk a little bit about what to buy. Okay, so you're going out and you're buying a home. What to look for? And this is one of the questions that amazing couple from Iowa is asking. How do you know what to buy and where to buy and all that kind of stuff? So let's talk about that. First of all, probably the best place to buy is in the bottom price range of a neighborhood. And never overbuild your neighborhood through like home additions or improvements. So like for instance, in like a neighborhood of 300 to 350,000, you want to choose a house that for like 280. I mean, you want to be on the bottom end because all those really nice houses in the neighborhood are going to pull your value up. In that same neighborhood of 3 to 350, if you've got a home for 385 and you did another 20,000 in renovations, you're up at the 400,000 mark. Your comps, when you go to do a CMA, we'll talk about that in a minute, are all your comps in that neighborhood are going to pull your value down. So you want to make sure that you have that, you know, want to have one of the lower ones in the neighborhood. You want to be in the neighborhood and go, man, we're lucky to be in this neighborhood. This is a great neighborhood. It's beautiful. It's, you know, even out of our price range. And you want to be the smallest house or the at least the lowest dollar amount. It might not be the smallest, but so make sure you take that into consideration. Appreciation in good neighborhoods is priced on three things: location, location, and the third one is location. That is so crucial. And we're talking about macro location as far as what city you're in. We're also talking about micro location. So where is it at in the neighborhood? Does it have a nice pie-shaped corner lot? Not corner lot, but a cul-de-sac lot? Or is it crammed up in the corner up against some cell towers and a sewer ravine in the backyard? So you got to be really careful. Location matters. You think about a double wide. You know, a double wide in the sand of Malibu, I mean, it's probably worth about $1 million. But probably only worth about $3,000 here in Tennessee. So location really, really matters. Now, if it's possible, thinking about this location thing, you want to buy near water or with some kind of water view. Okay, so you think about that. Supply and demand, right? Demand for water and water view is only increasing with population. There's more and more people that are buying, but supply doesn't even move. So therefore, that raises the value. God is, you know, for all intents and purposes, done creating water. They ever thought about that? There's only so much water and there's only so many houses that can be built around water. So the demand will always go up and the supply won't. So think through that. It's funny to me when I'm thinking about this water view, you know, some people get really creative on calling their property water view. You know, there's like a fountain about 3 miles away and you can see it from your rooftop, and they call that water view. So, when you're out there buying a home, you want to make sure you're looking for bargains. Okay. So the way you can find bargains is by overlooking bad landscaping or overlooking ugly carpet, or maybe it's some ugly Tickle Me Elmo wallpaper or something. or there's a John Deere picture right over the master bed. I don't know what it is, but you got to overlook some of those things, some really weird things, and see. It takes a lot of discipline, but does it have the good structure and does it have the nuts and bolts that's needed? Always buy a home that either is or can be attractive from the street and has a good basic floor plan that most people will like. That'll help you when you go to resell, that it actually is something that is valuable to the majority of the community. Know this too, you know, whether you're buying or you're selling a home, that you should only work with an agent who has the heart of a teacher. You've heard me say that before. And we can help you find an endorsed local provider in your area. So make sure you check out stewardship.com and check out our ELPs. These real estate experts are absolutely phenomenal. So before we go on to how to buy a home, let me pause for just a minute. As you listen in, I pray that we're providing some clarity in this area. If you've been looking for more clarity in regards to your finances and this whole mortgage thing and clarity when it comes to priorities, I want you to know Financial Peace University is that class for you. It's helped over 4 million people change their futures by learning how to manage their money God's way. And as you heard me mention at the top of our broadcast, right now, when you order Financial Peace University, you'll also get the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. This incredible book will give you a clear biblical view of building wealth and giving generously, much of the things that we talk about on this show. Here's what you have to do to participate. Just visit stewardship.com, use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces, and get this amazing deal for only $99. It's that simple. You'll find all the details at stewardship.com. So let's look into how to buy a house. First of all, you might want to make sure you're using an agent or a broker. They have full access to the multiple listing service. That's called the MLS. And they can make house hunting way easier. 89% of home buyers right now are using agents. So you want to make sure that you do that. The MLS, just to give you a little bit more explanation, is simply a tool that agents use to search frequently updated listings of available properties. Access to the MLS through an agent can open up a world of new options for you, the buyer. So don't try to do this on your own, you know, driving all over town. That's just bananas. And what's cool is, in most scenarios, the buyer doesn't have to pay for the agent. The seller does. So this is a free service to you. It's pretty cool. Kinda, because, you know, the seller cranks up the price 3% to pay for it. But, you know, you're not coming out of pocket for this help. So make sure you use an agent. And of course, I told you a minute ago, we have those, not Ramsey Solution agents, but we have endorsed local providers that we love and we'd love to point you towards. Just head over to stewardship.com. So when you're shopping, search for a home using the internet listing. So you can use MLS with your agent, and then you can use, there's other listings that are not quite as reliable, but you want to make sure that you start on the internet. 90% of buyers start there, but don't fully rely on it. You really can, like as you're in your normal commute to work, you can still look around for maybe some listings that didn't pop up, but most of them are going to be on the MLS if they're a listing that has, you know, they're not crazy. I don't know why you would try to sell a house and not be on the multiple listing service. So make sure you check out the internet. And if you're not buying in a neighborhood too, I strongly encourage you to get a survey. There's just so many things that can go wrong with easements and with the parcel. Just make sure you get a survey. If it's in a normal standard subdivision lot, you're probably fine. You also want to have the home inspected mechanically and structurally by a certified home inspector. Just know that this process, you're going to be very emotional and you're going to be all excited and giddy about everything. But I'm telling you right now, make sure you get an inspector, because when you're emotional and you're giddy about everything, you're overlook things. You know, it's like, oh, it's okay. The attic's fallen in. No big deal. We'll fix that next week. No, an inspector will tell you exactly how dangerous things are. You also want to get an appraisal. But you need to understand that appraisals, these drive me bananas. They're just opinions. They're an opinion of value. What they do is they pull comps from all over the area of similar properties. And appraisers typically, not all of them, they know that they've got a lot of power. They know this magic number. And that usually when you go to get lending, it's tied to your appraisal quite, you know, how much the lending process is tied to the appraisal. And they know they have a lot of power. But don't be afraid to push back when it comes to an appraisal. And when you push back hard, I've seen them several times be like, you know what? Okay, I can see that. Because there is a range. You know, let's say the range comes back to 250 to 265 on a house. And you're just like, come on, there's no way. And make them go back. They'll fine tune it a little bit. So make sure you check into that. You also want to look into title insurance. This insures you against any unclean title, which is when your property ownership is called into question. It is a must buy. Make sure you get title insurance. Now, let's talk a little bit about mortgages. Many of you have asked me, okay, what kind of mortgage am I looking for? You know, let's go back to the basics here. Let's remember to hate debt, okay? Hate it. The best plan to buy a house is 100% down. 100% down, spending all cash on a property is not crazy. It's not something that doesn't happen. According to the Census Bureau, 31% of homeowners have no mortgage debt of any type. So think about that. 31%. It is possible. So don't lie to yourself and think that it's not. You want to get your monthly payment no more than 25% of your take-home pay, not gross, your take-home pay, on a 15-year fixed-rate loan with at least 20% down. Okay, what 20% does is it allows you to avoid the stuff called PMI that we'll talk in a minute. It's mortgage insurance. Okay, so that's what you're looking for. Again, you're looking for a 15-year fixed-rate loan with at least 20% down, and that payment that comes out with taxes and insurance. So that's your principal, that is your interest, that's your taxes and your insurance all together, needs to be no more than 25% of your take-home pay. Now, that doesn't include utility payments and all those other kinds, but just that mortgage payment. Now, why 15 years? You might be asking yourself that. Why a 15-year mortgage? Why is that such a big deal? Let's say you buy a $225,000 house. Okay, so a 15-year mortgage, that's a $1,900 payment a month. A 30-year mortgage payment, that's $1,350 a month. Okay, so you've got a $550-ish going more towards the mortgage. So then you fast forward 10 years. Here's what happens. That 15-year mortgage now has a balance of $98,210. But the 30-year mortgage has a balance of $188,000. So during that 10 years, you would have paid almost $162,000 on that 30-year mortgage, but only paid down the loan by $36,000. Ouch. What is that, $126,000 towards interest? Ouch, ouch, ouch. That's why I love the 15-year mortgage. Now let's talk a little bit about some horrible mortgage options. Okay, things that I've done in the past, and I am so embarrassed that I did. They're called ARMs. You ever heard of them? ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages. I like to call them ain't right mortgages. They just ain't right. Right now, mortgage rates are so good, based on history, that adjustable only means they're going up, right? So let's all say this together. Up is bad. Up is bad. So we want to stay away from that adjustable rate. Yuck, 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 yuck. The concept of the ARM is to transfer the risk of higher interest rates to the borrower. And in return, the lender gives a lower rate now, but you take on more risk. We don't like that at all. That's not good. If you have an ARM, let me boldly tell you, refinance immediately. That's right. Refinance immediately if you have an ARM. And then, of course, interest-only loans are a bad idea because obviously you're only paying interest. No principal progress means no buying progress. Other bad ones are reverse mortgages. Yuck. I think you have to be 62 or older to qualify for that, but very expensive, high fees, financing your retirement. Just, ugh, I don't like anything about it. Horrible product. The accelerated mortgages. I don't like those either. The biweekly payoff. Why, Chris, why do you not like that? Because you're paying fees for something that you can do by yourself. You can accelerate your own payments. You can do your own biweekly payoff. Now, if they offer something like that with no fees, that's fine. But there's no reason why you need to pay fees for that stuff. You should definitely pay off the mortgage as early as possible, but don't pay a fee for some special program that pays it off early. Just make an extra principal payment on your own. Also, another horrible mortgage concept is tax advantages of a mortgage. I hinted at that earlier. That's not good news. That's a myth. I have a mortgage because I like the tax benefits. I like the tax write-off. What you're saying is, I don't know how to do math. And I'm saying that nicely, but boldly, because it's just not good math. Let's take a $200,000 house at 5% interest rate. So that means you're paying $10,000 a year in interest. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, that means you're not having to report $10,000 because of this deduction. So you're saving 25% tax on $10,000. That means it's a $2,500 tax break. So let me figure this out. You're going to pay $10,000 in interest so you can get a $2,500 break on your taxes. That's crazy. You paid $7,500 for a $2,500. I don't get it. Here's the deal. Here's what you need to do. If you really want the deduction that bad, give $10,000 to charity, and guess what your deduction then is at that point? You get a $10,000 deduction. So give all 10 of that to charity or your local church, and boom, a $10,000 deduction. Sweetness. So if you're one of those folks who have been justifying your mortgage because of that, folks, come on, we're brighter than that, right? So how do you buy a home? Okay, best ways to finance a home is a conventional loan. Why? They're usually through Fannie Mae and are privately insured against default. You want to avoid PMI, the private mortgage insurance. Okay, you don't want to pay that. That's just I don't like that. PMI is there to protect the lender, not you. It costs about $70 a month, up to $100 a month for $100,000 borrowed. So if you have a $200,000 mortgage with PMI, you're paying about $140 to $200 every month for that. Yuck. However, if you put 20% down or pay your loan down to 80% loan to value, you can drop or remove PMI. So check with your mortgage company. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've paid it down to that mark. So you want to make sure that you do that, okay? I'm not a big fan of FHA or VA loans. Okay, they're typically more expensive. They typically, what they're doing is they're advertising very little down, 0 to 3% down. Well, that's not what we want to do. We want to put 20% down, avoid PMI. So usually a much more expensive product, nothing against veterans, obviously. We love our veterans, but the VA loan is not necessarily a good product. It's expensive, so be really careful with that. With a good down payment, the conventional loan is the better deal than the VA. So let me talk about the challenges a little bit, some challenges. Okay, because if you do what we teach, there's some challenges with that. Because we teach that you shouldn't have any debt. What happens if you don't have any debt? You have no longer have a credit score. It'll eventually hit zero, which means you'll need to find a mortgage lender that does what we call manual underwriting. And you might go to the first bank or the first institution, and they don't do that. Don't give up. That you know, about 50% will do some kind of manual underwriting. I know of one for particular, Church Hill Mortgage, good friends of ours. I'll put a link on the website for you at stewardship.com. But I know they do manual underwriting. And what you're going to need to qualify for manual underwriting is not a credit score, but you'll need a solid, stable employment history, as well as records showing at least 2 years of paying rent and utilities, either early or on time. That's what you will need to do. But they're not going to take your traditional credit report. You know, lenders still do manual underwriting. You might not think they do, but they do. They are getting fewer and farther between because it takes some extra effort on their part. So if one bank tells you they can't do it, just keep looking. They're out there. You can do it. Well, I hope this show has opened up your mind to the hope of a life with no mortgage payment. And when you think you'll always have a mortgage payment and there's no hope, you begin to act like a person with no hope. And that's what's so cool about a person who goes through Financial Peace University. The average person goes through Financial Peace University only carries a mortgage, get this, for only 7 years. Boom, right? That's why we want you to check out stewardship.com for Financial Peace University. And like I said, right now, you can get the Legacy Journey ebook as well for only $99 by using the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com. That's Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey together for $99. Well, all right, that is it for me today. Time to go work on some good April Fool's jokes for tomorrow. God bless y'all.